You, which are his body. It's going to be a big program, isn't it? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that we are your body. We have partaken of your body and your blood in your own body, the body that you gave to be given for us. But we thank you again, Lord God, that not only is that body the body which took upon him yourself all of our sin, but you have another body, and that body is now us. You come and you dwell in us. You come and you walk in us, and you talk in us, and you speak in us, and your body is alive on the earth. Your body is not just in heaven, having been resurrected, sitting down at the right hand of the Father, but your body is in fact alive on the earth. And we praise you, Lord God, this day that as you open your word, that you declare these things to us and show them to us so that we know that we are not on our own and we are not of ourselves, but we are of you. So we honor you and give you praise this morning by our reverence to your word and to your message. And we honor you this day, Lord God, because of all that you have done in Christ Jesus. We praise you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave apostles, some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, or pastors who are teachers. Some call it the fivefold. I can't see any folds. Some call it the fourfold. There's either five or four, and there's four psalms, so we'll go with four. Because a pastor is a teacher. Pastor must be a teacher. One who disciples, one who brings you up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, even as a parent brings a child up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Pastor should rebuke. Did I say rebuke? Is that what I said? Yeah. The pastor should rebuke, reprove, instruct, and declare doctrine. Amen. Hallelujah. So that you know how to grow. Therefore, a pastor must know doctrine, must know what the word of the Lord is. And he gave these gifts. These are gifts. If you look back at verse 10, wherefore he says, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And he has a parenthetical statement about the fact that he ascended and indeed descended, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave. Well, gave must be the gifts. And he gave apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers, pastor teachers. Now, why did he give them? Why did he give them? I want to talk about the body of Christ today. About how we become a body. How we become what God has desired and designed for us to become in the earth. Now, there's a reason that we're still here. Amen? It's not to celebrate Christmas. Hallelujhuh. It's not to decorate churches. Build them nice and pretty. It's not to keep them ugly either. You know, well, we can take pride in anything that we do in the church, can't we? I mean, we can take pride in being the best, and take pride in being the worst or the ugliest, or we're the most humble. You know, you take pride in doing all kinds of things, can't you? I remember Robert talked about some woman who was in one of his meetings over in Africa. His woman made it a habit and a practice to be the ugliest woman in the crowd. Because she was humble, by gum. She's going to be the ugliest. She could be an ugly for Jesus. Y'all remember that story? There's some of you, man. Been ugly for Jesus. Well, I don't think Jesus wants you to be ugly for him. Amen? And God doesn't want you to do anything that he hadn't told you to do. So he's, our reason for being here is to declare his goodness and his lordship and the glory of God. That's the reason you're here. You're not here to do your work, do a job, you know. Now you may be doing a job because you got a little gospel machine that has to eat lunch, right? Amen. Otherwise you kind of quit in the middle of the day. You know, you have a body, you have a flesh. And the scripture said Jesus was hungry. Remember when it said Jesus was hungry? Y'all remember that, do you? It's one of those you don't want to remember. Well, Jesus wasn't like us. No, he was like me in every way. Jesus was like me in every way except one thing. What was that? No sin. That's right. He was like me in every other way. He ate and he drank and he went to sleep. And he also was, you know, he was a human being. So he did, you know, everything else y'all do. It's amazing. And yet, he was without sin. And so he did all these things. And his purpose in the earth was one thing, is to declare the kingdom of God. Now you're here in the earth to do the same thing, is to declare the kingdom, not to be just kind of waiting for Jesus coming. Amen? Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah. That's good. Yeah. So that's your thing. You are a member of the body of Christ. Therefore, what does the members of the body of Christ do? Jesus went about doing. Well, then, what was his body doing while he was doing good? His body was out doing good. And what's his body doing today? Thank you. Good. Yes. His body's going about doing good and healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. How many know you are part of the body of Christ? How many fingernails we got in here? How many noses? How many ACLs we got? Now, we don't want y'all to hurt that because that's real important. It's when you're playing football and stuff. We don't want you to hurt that because you can minister playing football there. Like those Cowboys are going to do today. We'll try to have you out of here by 3:15 today. You know, I got a lot of scriptures. You know? David and the Giants. You know, we're playing the Giants today. I bet Pastor Jim doesn't even know that. He's probably preaching on something else. Verse 12. So he gave these gifts for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, which result in the edifying of the body of Christ. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, he gave these gifts. Now, the reason I say it like that is because if you look back in Acts chapter 6, is that when the Grecians and the Hebrew women were complaining about who was getting served first, you know, the apostles finally said, hey, this is it. This is the last straw. You know, are we supposed to be studying the Word of God and leaving that Word of God and go serve tables? Is that what's going to be the blessing of the church? You know, we got a lot of churches that's all they do. All they do is serve meals, you know, and have a place where you can get clothes and have a place where you can get by in this world. Amen? You ever been part of ministries like that? Those are good. Those are handy. Those are handy to have. Those are a blessing to have. But it's not the crux of the church. It's not the reason for the church. The reason for the church is not clothing ministries and feeding ministries. The reason for the church is to get the sin out of your life. The reason for the church is to get you born again and into the kingdom of God and out of the kingdom of this world. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what the kingdom of God is about. Would God lead you to do these other things? Sure. But it's only as He's leading you to do them. Hallelujah. He's leading you to do these things. Now, if you look over there again in Acts chapter 6, He says, we'll choose you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of faith, and full of the Holy Ghost, that we may set over these matters, that we may put over these matters, so that we may give ourselves to the study of the Word and to prayer. Amen? So that's what he's doing. So here, if you're looking in this particular verse here in chapter Ephesians 4:12, he says he gave these gifts for what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So that is that the body of Christ is not to just sit and hear the word of God, but to get up and minister, get up and do the work of the ministry. As you're being perfected by the word of God, you'll begin to do the work of the ministry, not because somebody's putting pressure on you to do it, but because the Holy Spirit is talking to you. So I don't have a list of jobs for you today. What I've got is encouragement for you to hear the word of the Lord and to hear God. And he will, in fact, put you in place. He'll put you in the ministry place which he has designed and desired for you. Your ministry is not somebody else's ministry. You know, your ministry is not just, you know, the one thing that is here or there that needs to be done. But God will give you a direction. But you're not going to get that direction without growing up, without studying his word, without praying, without worshiping. You will not know what that ministry is. You won't know what that ministry is just coming in here on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Amen? That's right. He says he's giving these gifts for the perfecting of the saints, that you might be discipled, that you might be grown up, that you might grow up into all things, into him, which is the head, which we'll read about right now. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect or mature man, a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So these gifts, these apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors who teach, are given to bring you up till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, a mature man. So in other words, God's desire and his goal is to cause you to become mature. Amen? And then we're discussing with you and teaching with you how that takes place. Is that you begin by knowing the fact that you're in sin. You're a sinner. You're a sinful individual. Amen? Hello. And not only that, but you cannot do anything of yourself. And so as we're teaching you these things, we open the door and let you know that here you are in your spirit, born again, and here's your soul. And your soul is in flux at best. Amen? And here's your body, which some days is hearing the spirit and some days is hearing the soul. But your body, your soul is being imparted the word of God, and your soul is being transformed. So I make that wiggly line right there because the defining between the soul that's been renewed and the soul that's been that hasn't quite gotten it yet is in flux. It's in some days we are and some days we ain't. You ever notice that? Huh? You ever notice that? Yes. Well, you know what you do when you come across this little wiggly line here? When you come across the part that, gee, it doesn't look whether if I can tell whether I'm a Christian or whether I'm a sinner. You know what you do when you come by that line is I want you to rejoice. Amen? It's like Dave was sharing earlier, is that you're kind of in this in-between place, and you're not sure whether you're good or you're bad. You're not, because it's because you're looking at the soul, and you're not looking at the spirit. All right? You're looking at the soul, and you're not looking at the spirit. You're not looking at the word of God, at the truth that God has proclaimed that he is transforming you and changing you into his own image. That's what he's doing. So he's changing you into his own image, and then that body will either listen to the unrenewed soul or the renewed soul. Someday, what that means is some days you'll sin, and some days you'll be a blessing. Some days you'll look like crummy, and some days thank God, people will just be amazed. I know how that is. You know, you get down, you preach a message, and my goodness, you know, people just all excited. Then you go off and complain about it. Then I go off and complain about somebody. My gosh, how awful is that? You know, how can I be that way? You know, it's because I'm not fully done. I'm not fully cooked. You're not fully cooked either. But God, thank God, He's transforming you. Amen? And don't be discouraged. Here's the thing. Don't be discouraged by your failure. Well, I seem to fail often. Well, then rejoice often. Amen? I said, if you fail often, rejoice often. Scripture tells you what? To rejoice always. One of our brothers over in Dallas says, rejoicing always and in all ways. Always and in all ways. So the fact is that rejoicing is stirring up the joy. How many know you have joy on the inside of you? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a planting. It's a planting of the Lord. I can see that we have some disbelievers. No, you have the joy of the Lord on the inside of you right now. I can't feel it. Well, quit feeling it. Quit trying to feel it. Here's what you do. You agree with God. Amen? You're agreeing with God. I'm going to agree with God that He's producing in me the righteousness, the peace, the joy of the Holy Ghost. I'm filled with peace. I'm filled with joy. Darn it. How come that person has to do that? How come they drive me crazy all the time? You know, why is my wife doing that? Why is my husband doing that? Why are my kids, they just can't get it and they can't get it together? You know, as the Scripture says to rejoice. Now, I know those things come out of your mouth, but it's not like you can't take it back or something, you know. Or that ruined your day. You know, that ruined it for today. Well, I already said that, so that ruins it for today. No, just take it right back. Said, no, that's a lie. You know, you can be double-minded to be helpful for you, some of you. Some of you, you start out single-minded, sinning, and then you just figure, well, lost it for today. Shot today. Lost it today. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? I mean, you feel like, see, that's the enemy. That's the enemy. If you think you have lost it for today just because you screwed up once, I'm telling you today, here's freedom for you. Start rejoicing right now. Amen? Start rejoicing right now. In other words, if you kick the dog, hallelujah. Lord, bless that dog. I'm sorry I kicked you, puppy. Or you've said something or done something that day that you just feel like you cannot recover from. Begin to rejoice again. Begin to rejoice. Say it out of your mouth. Change gears. Change the station. Anybody have a radio? What do you do when something comes on you don't like? I say, what do? Change it. Well, I've got news. You got a radio. And you can change your own station. Amen? When something comes out of your mouth you don't like, change the station. Because there's one station that's called the soul and one station that's called the spirit. And apparently you've been listening to the soul and now the spirit's going to... You change over to the spirit and begin rejoicing. And don't act like you can't find the station. It was here yesterday. I just can't seem to find it. No, you begin to rejoice. Begin to open your mouth. Listen, open your mouth and say, Father, I just thank you. See, when you sin, when you fall down, when you make a mess, begin to open your mouth and say, Father, I thank you that I'm messed up. Because that just shows me that I am not good. I'm not you. I'm not Jesus. I'm not the Holy Ghost. So I thank you, Lord God, that you're living in me by the Holy Ghost and I'm being transformed. And I give you praise, Lord God, right now in all things. Even though this thing that came upon me and this thing that this trouble that's coming upon me is rotten. It's a bad trouble. It's trouble that's troubling me and causing me to be angry. And I choose right now to rejoice in the middle of the face of that trouble right now. Anybody with me? Anybody got stuff like that? I mean, if not, you can just forget this whole thing. But I think you do. I think you have things that come into your face. You have things daily that come into your face that cause you to get angry. Cause you to lose your religion, as it were. Amen? Anybody do that? Hallelujah. This is good. Now what I want you to do is get your religion back. I want you to start rejoicing. Then I want you to come tell me about it. Or call me. Let me know what just happened. Amen? Hello? Because it's great. It's a good thing to be able to testify about something like that instead of having to wait till Sunday. You might forget. So, I mean, call. Hey, guess what? I just swore because something happened. But then I remember what you said, and I started rejoicing. Here's what I'm telling you about is that this is what your pastors are for, is to tell you what the truth is and how to begin to walk in it. Amen? How to begin to walk in it. Now, if you'll listen, you'll begin to grow. Anybody heard? Anybody done that? Has anybody listened to Pastor Jim or Pastor Dave? And you, not because we're anything, it's just we've been given a gift. Anybody listen and you feel like you grew and you began to get rid of your sin and you began to get rid of your disappointment? How many of you are disappointed in life? Praise the Lord. Amen. That's honest. Anybody else disappointed? See, disappointment is from the enemy, isn't it? Isn't it? Disappointment. Now, I'm not talking about and even disappointment in you, because God had no expectation of you, did he? In fact, he'd get, man, that's nice music. That's going to be good. Y'all be here on the 17th. Now, so God, he's already done all this work. And all he's wanting to do is put it on the inside of you. And he wants you to acknowledge it. He wants you to say yes. He wants you to say, yeah, I'll take what you've given me. I'll take it. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, God's good. Now that we're going to grow up to a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that's a big man, isn't it? That tells me that you're not going to do it. It's another one that you're not going to do. He says, till we all came. It's the one I'm not going to do. It's one I'm not going to be able to, that's what the pastors are for, to make this group in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to bring y'all up into a perfect man. Boy, that'd be a big job, wouldn't it? Huh? Would that be a big job? I mean, y'all know you, don't you? Y'all are a tough case. Especially the girls, right? It says one of the men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we hereafter be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every silly thing that comes along. Every wind of doctrine, or carried about by the slight or the deception of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. How many know men are waiting to deceive you? Yeah, amen. Or you just get a telephone call and trying to get you. Or they're trying to tell you they're going to give you a Hummer if you fill out that little card there at the State Fair. All they want to do is sell you their cookware. You know, I've never seen a Hummer or anything come out of that. All I do is get a bunch of phone calls. If you wonder where all those phone calls and mailing lists are coming, how you get on everybody's mailing list is because you're filling out that little card. So you quit filling out that little card, and you probably won't get near as much junk mail. So that we hereafter be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See, these guys, people will die, are desirous to deceive you, just because, I mean, they're just like you, they want to get money, they just want to take you in, they want to create their own big deal, their own big, either big religion, or they want to create something that glorifies man. Listen, fear the Lord. Come and worship the Lord. Do not be suckered into every new thing that comes down the pike. Amen? There's all kinds of stuff. Boy, I tell you what, there's all kinds of stuff on television, all kinds of stuff on radio. Read the Word of God. Get into your Word of God. Rejoice. Give praise. Have a relationship. See, so many people are looking for some new way to figure out the doctrine. So they read every book that comes down. I'm not telling you every book's a bad book or something, but I guarantee you there's a lot of junk out there. And what you want to do is quit depending on books to get you into the kingdom of God, or books to get you grown up and mature. Why don't you depend on the Holy Ghost? If you'll remember, if you go read John chapter 16 and 17, Jesus is telling you how the Holy Ghost is going to bring you up and to cause you to become mature. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's what you want to do. You want to spend time in the presence of God. Now, he says, so that we be no more children. But verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, how many of you got the truth? But boy, howdy, you got to work on the love. Be speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That's what these gifts are for. That's what these gifts are for. And, well, that's what these gifts are for. And he says here in verse 16, from whom? Christ, the head, which is Christ. From whom, out of whom, the whole body. So it begins at the head, from Him, from whom, the head, Christ. The whole body, so the whole body is fixing to receive something from the head. The whole body fitly joined together, properly joined together, and compacted, held together, by that which every joint supplies. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So it's held together by that which every joint, every part supplies. How many of y'all are a part in this body? How about the rest of you? Yeah, praise the Lord. All right. Two or three of you. Some people, your arms broke. Don't like this participatory preaching. You wish I was on television. That way you could be washing dishes or something. Getting something done important. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which all of y'all are supplying, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. In other words, every part's got a part, and every part has a part that it plays in its particular amount. Makes increase, in other words, everything working together, makes an increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. In other words, there's a body that God has created, made y'all a part of it, and every part that you guys are, whether it's a foot, a toe, a hand, a knee bone, God is bringing you together to walk in love with one another. Amen? Not in anger toward one another, not in indifference to one another. That's so much of, you know, the truth in the church is, it's indifference. So, but the fact is that this body is the kingdom of God. Amen? This body is the kingdom of God. Did you know that you are the kingdom of God? And members in particular? Members in particular, but you are the kingdom of God. And this body, now that's a great scripture there. is 4:16. Is that the whole body joined together, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. In other words, this is a definition of what it is to have a body that actually moves and operates and flows together. And it's not about the fact that we've got a church that is wisely put together in the eyes of men. What it has to do with is those who know the gospel and those who know the love of God from the heart and those who have worship and praise and thanksgiving coming out of their voices because of what the Holy Spirit has done on the inside of you. And then the Holy Spirit begins to maneuver that body in a proper way which it pleases Him. Amen? So it's not because we're so smart that we figured out a great way to put this whole thing together. And man, it really moves. It really shakes and it really does the job and the whole city is being overwhelmed. No, what it has to do with is you growing up in the Holy Ghost and then the Holy Ghost working properly through His vessels. Amen? Yes, that's right. Let's look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I think I had some notes here somewhere. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 12. Now, first part of the book is concerned with the gifts or the manifestation of the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is wisdom, the gift of knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All right? So then we begin at verse 12. For as the body is one, verse 11, but all these, talking about these manifestations of the Spirit, works that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally, as He wills. So the gifts of the Spirit are divided to every man, given to every man as He wills. All right? As who wills? As the Holy Ghost wills. As the Lord wills. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we have been made all to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, well, that'd be scary. Where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body, as He says, as it has pleased Him. And if they were all one member, you know, what need you give? The body was just an arm. Where would the body be? Where's the body? Verse 20, but now they are many members, yet but one body. So that's you. You're many members, but one body. And all of you are not the same. How many know your ear doesn't look like your nose? Your toe doesn't look like your left ear. Your eye doesn't look like your something else. In other words, you're different. How many know you're different? How many know God has set each one of you in the body and it's pleased Him? Well, that's depressing. You know, because you're trying to figure it out on your own. You're looking at what you think you can do and you can perform and you can pull off. And, you know, you're trying to take the little test that, you know, says what college degree you ought to get. You know, what kind of thing you ought to be. You're trying to sort that out. God's not saying that to you. He's saying, come and worship me. He's saying, follow me. Jesus said, I only do what I hear my Father, see my Father doing. And so God is going to begin to operate in you. But it's, again, same thing here. As you begin to hear his voice, as you begin, it all comes from worship and fellowship with the kingdom of God. It comes from worship and fellowship with the Lord. It comes from knowing that you are the beloved of God. You are the beloved of the Father. It's the Father's little flock. Don't you know? It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's the Father himself who loves you. So don't be all about trying to sort out what in the world you're doing wrong. But go into the presence of God. Go into his presence. Worship him. Let him show you your sin. Let him put you in the body as it has what? Pleased him. Don't figure out what you've got to be. You know, I can't be Pastor Jim. You know, you can't be me. I can't be you. It's not a good idea. Because God has set you in the body as it's pleased him. He's set me in the body as it's pleased him. And he's producing life in you. He's producing ministry in you. Amen? Listen, every one of you, God has set you in place. Well, I'm just so depressed. I just don't know what God's ministry is for me. Listen. Whatever you're doing or not doing, I want you to rejoice in whatever your hand finds to do. Do it with all of your might. Don't worry about what it is that you think you heard God say. You're not going to make it happen. You're not going to produce it. His desire for you is to worship and to come to know him, and then he will, the place that he will put you in will be the place that it will be a place of rest for you. I don't mean it's going to be easy, but you're going to know that this is it. This is where I need to be today. Amen? Listen, God loves you. He is working in you to produce ministry, not just life for you, not just what makes me feel good. Amen? Not just what makes me feel good, but what is going to produce life in the world, life in the church. Yeah. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Weak are necessary. And those members of the body which seem to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor. What he's saying to you is love one another. This person seems like they might not have as glamorous a ministry as somebody else. Well, you need that ministry. There's parts of your own body that don't seem to have a very glamorous ministry, but I got news for you. You need every part of it. Amen? Huh? I mean, how many wants to hang out with the toes after they've been in them work shoes all day? Anybody want to hang out with somebody's toes? I mean, yeah, but that's a ministry there's a ministry we're needing. We need the ministry of those toes. We need these ministries of the various parts of the body that are not that glamorous. Amen? And God has called some of you to that ministry. Rejoice in it. Amen? It's like pastoring. That's a stinky job. You know, you have to clean up all the messes and all that kind of thing. Amen? Huh? Anybody ever had little babies? Huh? What's it like to clean up after a little baby? Mom, y'all, grandmas, you want to go back to that? You know, you want to give them back to your daughter. Here. If we're just, Janet and I are grateful. We worked this thing out real good. We got two guys who are probably going to have some kids. Then we got two girls who are just about babysitting age. You know, saying, oh, hello, look at that little sweet. Oh, Grace, here. Esther, take care of this little niece. They say it's good. It's the way you need to work things out. You need to be smart like us. Have kind of two groups. Of course, you'll never be through raising kids until you're 70. Oh, retirement. I mean, yeah, Janet's parents were 40, under 45 when she moved out. They've been living it up. They've been living it up ever since. I mean, 27 years, 28 years. That's right. We missed that idea somewhere. We kept having kids. That's like a pastor. He just keeps having kids. Amen? All right. And those members of the body we think to be less honorable, this is verse 23 in 1 Corinthians 12, which we think to be less honorable, we still bestow more abundant honor. Our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. That means they're prettier. For our comely parts have no need. That is, our attractive parts have no need. I mean, those guys, they're just attractive. They seem to be doing all right. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism, no division in the body, that all the members should have the same care one for another. You see, we don't care as much for one as for the other. Over in James, it talks about how, you know, you care for the one with the happy clothing on, but the guy who comes in a vile raiment, you kind of, you put him, you here, sit here under my footstool. You ever read that scripture? Says those of you come in, the guy in what he calls gay clothing. I don't know about that, but he says, in, you know, beautiful garments. You know, you say, here, sit here in the place of honor. And then the guy who comes in a vile raiment, you say, here, sit here under my footstool. You can't tell me that these guys don't have a sense of humor. Here, sit under my feet, you guy who just came in off the street. Is that it? Is that, you know, your attitude? Is that my attitude? It is in my flesh, isn't it? Isn't it? Do you recognize your flesh when it comes up? Or is it just, well, hey, he's just yucky? You know, so you justify yourself. No. God's called you to receive everyone. Amen? Doesn't mean you give money to everybody who shows up. Doesn't mean to do that. But what it does mean is you receive them with love and mercy. Amen? And whether one member of the body suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or whether one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and its particular members. Then he said, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? He says, covet earnestly the best gifts. But yet I show you a more excellent way. And he continues on to talk, and we're not going to do this today, but continues on to talk about the fact that the body operating in love, as we read about in Ephesians, is the most critical part. Is the body operating together and to the edifying of itself in love. You know, one interesting part of this chapter 13 I'll throw out to you. It says, verse 3, it says, though I bestow my body to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it's agape, love, it's nothing. How many of you know that it says you want to give your body to be burned? You give your body to that much. And God, I'm going to give you my body to be burned. And you have not love. How could you do that? Could you do that? Apparently it could be done. Apparently it could be done. You could give your body to be burned in the name of memorial, in the name of you. Well, I'm going to give up my body to be burned, but have no love. Isn't that powerful? That somebody could give up their body to be burned. Now, Father, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these mighty works in your name? Depart from me, I never knew you. Look over at Romans chapter 12. The ministry of the body. Or excuse me, the gifts. Gifts within the body. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or demonstrate what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We've talked about that before, is that that's maturing, that's growth, that's growing up from one degree of glory to the next, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. So it's not like there's some three kinds of the will of God, you know. No, it's the first, it's just you reach a level where like compared to everything else, and, you're getting a little better. Good, acceptable, and perfect. So you're constantly growing, being mature, being chastened, as we talked about a couple weeks ago. For I say this through the grace of God given to me, that every man is among you, to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, it's very similar to what we read in 1 Corinthians 12, we compare the two. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now that prophecy, that gift of prophecy, is an inspired utterance of the Lord, given among those who are in the body. If you look back over at 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it begins to talk about, you remember the gifts that are more, the best gifts, which God really talks about is the utterance of the Lord, the declaration of the Word of God, and all of the, which is prophesying according to the utterance of the Spirit. Now that may come from an individual believer, is not necessarily in the office or of a prophet, a full-time ministry of prophet, but it's you or me just declaring the word of the Lord. A word in season is a prophetic word. A prophetic word is not, you know, even though we see so much of it, is, well, you're going to have a big ministry and a big this and a big that. Prophetic ministry has to do with exhortation, edification, and comfort. That's what prophecy is about. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. It's not foretelling the future, but it's about those three things. Say that. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's prophecy, okay? You remember that thing. Now, because many of us have an inkling to, or a proclivity toward that. It's a gift. It's a ministry gift. It's a ministry gift. Some of you do well in one thing, and some of you don't do so well in that thing. But it's because God has set you in the body as it has pleased Him. This particular passage here will kind of give more formation to what we read over in 1 Corinthians 12 when it was talking about hands, feet, toes, noses, and ears. All right? Is this one particular here gives you more insight into what specific ministries there may be. All right? So, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether it's prophecy, let's prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, what's that? Okay. Prophesy is to be able to give that exhortation, edification, and comfort. You may start off, that it's slow. You may start off with just encouraging people, but you find that you have a proclivity to do that, and it's a blessing. All right? It's not you, you know, coming up with some big word somewhere, but it's you ministering by word to individuals to build them up, maybe in a time of trouble or of a hard time. Is that you seem to be able to have a heart to give a word in season, all right? And that's going to grow. That gift will grow. See, because each time we'll say that, it's going to be according to the measure of faith, all right? The proportion of faith. Or ministry. Let us wait on our ministry. ministry would be serving. In other words, just whether it's folk doing the tables, doing the chairs, or something you enjoy doing, maybe because your bent is not talking all the time. Maybe that's your thing. You're not much of a talker, but you're more of a hands-oner, a doer, somebody who'll take on a job, or whether it may be a cleaning job, you know, and it's something you feel good about doing. When you get it done, it's like, man, I feel good about that being done, you know, and I'm glad it got done. It's not a pride thing, it's just the fact that you know what you can do and you get it done. Ministry, let us wait. Now that can be, like I said, that can be cleaning, that can be serving, taking care of various ministries, clothing ministries, or serving can encompass many, many things. Ministry, the same word as diakonos or deacon, which those who serve. Or he that teaches on teaching. In other words, you have an aptness to teach. Over in Timothy, it talks about a deacon or an elder having an aptness to teach, an ability to teach. He may not be a pastor, but at least he has an aptness to teach. He has an ability to teach. Many of you just naturally are teachers. Janet has that, and some of you others have a gift of teaching. A lot of you moms who are homeschooling, some of you feel like you don't have the gift of teaching, but God still called you to do that, and that's great. God will give you mercy and grace to do that. All right. Others of you, you have a gift of teaching, but it's not like a classroom gift of teaching. Some of you guys have a gift of teaching within your business, within the skill or the ability that you have. You have a gift of imparting that knowledge and that skill to someone else. That's, again, a teaching gift. All right? Those of you who are in business, you should be bringing young men from the church into your business. You should be bringing them in and apprenticing them or discipling them, showing what it is to do a business. You should make yourself available to show someone what a business is. See, this is part of the body, all right? Teachers show girls and boys who have the gift, boys or girls, how to teach. Show others, invite others into your business to show them how the business is done. That's only if you're an honest businessman. You know, you don't want some of you shady guys in. Well, here's how you cheat five people. Yeah, but I know none of y'all do that. Praise the Lord. So, I mean, show them how to sell a car. That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? Amen. No, you bring people in. You show them how to do what you're doing. Because people need to know it. People need to know how to be a mechanic. People need to know. Young men need to know. I mean, the truth is, there's a lot of things that I didn't know that I wish my sons now knew. Because it's necessary. Norman is, took Luke on to bring him into that computer and networking business. And I mean, that's something he's learning. And that's powerful. So if you feel God telling you to do that, you know, come to us. We'll find you somebody. All right? Amen. That's good. See, we want people to be brought up. But again, that's a ministry. That's a teaching. Or he that exhorts on exhortation. Now that'd be more like kind of preaching. Maybe some of you get up and kind of give a message, but you're not full time or something. But it's something that you have a declaration. All right. Again, it's similar to prophecy. He that exhorts on exhortation. Again, it said, let us wait on our ministry. He that exhorts, let us wait on our exhortation. In other words, God's going to give you certain times and seasons to. And people with which to do these gifts. All right? He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. Giving has to do with money. Some of you are blessed financially. You have a gift of financial giving. And in fact, that's what you're... In fact, when I'm saying that, you have a gift of making money, and your heart is to give. Your heart is to give to missions. So I'm telling you about a gift. I'm not telling you when you're making money, give it all. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is describing this gift is that you have a motivation, a heart to give into the ministry, to give to missions, to give to the church, to give to, you know, to the ministry of local assistance and benevolences. So you have, and he says, let him do it with simplicity. Well, what simplicity is, without hypocrisy, or without the left hand knowing what the right hand is doing. In other words, don't do it to be seen. Just make your giving and do it quietly. You know, just give it to, put it in the back box, or put it in there and tell very few people about, well, Pastor, could we do this? And, you know, we'll let you know if we're doing that. And then you can just give to that. All right? Let him do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence. So therefore, those of us who are assigned rulership, those who are assigned an office to rule, and to rule is not with like an iron hand. To rule is for order. Amen? To have things done decently in an order, say in the worship service or in some program that we're operating under. All right? Let him do it with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Anybody ever seen a person doing a job that required mercy and they're the meanest person on the block? Here, have his bucket of soup. Soup, you know. Throwing stuff and just, I mean, there's some folks with mercy, I mean, that's not your gift. But everybody wants to plug you into that deal. A person with mercy is somebody who's got a lot of patience. Amen. And God may be using you. God may be, in fact, instructing you or growing you up into a mercy of ministry mercy. Ministry of mercy. All right. So, minister mercy with cheerfulness. Hear that? Cheerfulness. Let love without hypocrisy. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. In other words, don't be just got ignoring everybody for the sake of your high-minded agenda. Whatever it is you think you need to be doing, but you need to keep an eye on people who are around you. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Well, that's a good one. Just as much as in you is, live peaceably with all men. That is, if somebody's on your case, let them go. Don't go in and grab them by the neck and shake them down. As much as in you is, live peaceably with all men. You remember the guy who had his debt forgiven and the other guy owed him $15? Hey, pay me what you owe. That guy getting thrown in prison. If you've been forgiven much, love much. Dear beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath to God. For vengeance is mine, saying the Lord, I will repay. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be not overcome of evil, and overcome evil with good. Be not overcome of evil. How many know you can be overcome with evil in your own mind? Huh? You can become overcome of evil when evil comes your way and the evil overtakes you as if this evil is going to win. As if this bad circumstance or situation coming down the pike is overtaking me. It's like we read over in 2 Corinthians 4, it says, trouble comes. In the world you have trouble. Tribulation. We're not distressed in tribulation. So you could be, but you're not. You could be distressed in tribulation, but you're not. You could be in despair because you don't know what's happening. Be not overcome of evil. That is, when evil comes your way, it cannot have you. Jesus said to Satan, to Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. God has set you in the body as it has pleased Him. He is maturing you. He is growing you up. You're becoming a part of His body. Final, last scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. And we'll quit after this. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. It's verse 11 in chapter 5. Edify one another, even as you also do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, your pastors, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And to now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil to any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Now listen to this. Here's your instruction as the body of Christ. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Test all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, and body. You want to make sure you have a spirit, soul, and body? There it is. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to verse 24. Faithful is He who calls you, who also will do it. Who's going to do it? Who's going to perform these things in you? Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who calls you, who also will do it. He called you, but He's going to do it. Now, as we talked about at the very beginning, is that you're a body called by God, given gifts, so that you may be grown up to perform the work of the ministry unto the edifying of the body of Christ. How many know that's the reason we're here in the earth? Is for the kingdom of God. It's not about having a job. It's not about getting by till you're 80 or 90. It's about declaring the kingdom of God. You are the kingdom of God. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. You are the kingdom of God. You are the body of Christ, members in particular. God is so good. Hallelujah. How many of you are blessed today? Amen. You're the body of Christ. Remember these things. Remember these things. Remember these things. Remember, we talked about that over in 2 Peter, is that I'm going to teach you these things, bring them to your remembrance until I'm dead. And after I'm dead, I still want you to remember it. Amen. I'm going to ask the guys to come down and pray for you if you have needs. And so don't forsake that opportunity. All right? Have someone pray with you. And God's faithful. And He loves you. And He's producing in you His life. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Father, we magnify You. We praise You and thank You that You're worthy. We thank You, Lord God, that You've created a body and we're it. Such as it is, we're it. But it's because the Holy Ghost is bringing it to pass in us. And Father, I thank You. I ask You right now to, let's lift our hands together. Father, I ask You right now to just cause us to walk in our ministry. Cause us to walk as the member of the body of Christ that You've created us to be, and cause us to hear Your voice and to teach or to serve or to give or to whatever You called us to do, O Lord God. Cause it to manifest in me. Cause me to come into Your presence, to repent of my sins, to sing Your praise, and to when things are looking down, when I begin to complain, I begin immediately to rejoice and to say, no, I will no longer complain, but rejoice rather at my failure, at people's failure. And thank You, Lord God, that You're manifesting Yourself in me through the Spirit, growing me up through the soul, and the body is manifesting good works which are wrought in God. And we give You praise and thanksgiving for it. I bless Your people this morning, Lord God, by Your word and by Your mercy and by Your grace. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. All right. Remember to come down.